Before I begin, let us pray. Dear Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, today is the first in a new sermon series. We do this every autumn when we get close to November. And each of the preaching team will be sharing their favourite passage from the Bible. So each sermon in the weeks to come will be personal. There'll be life-giving passages that we're sharing, ones that we cherish. And our hope is that by sharing what God has done for us and how Scripture has given meaning to our experiences of God and grown our faith, in turn, we hope that you too will have the courage to share with us your favourite Bible verses. Maybe you might want to even stand up here. Not here, because you might find that a bit too scary, but maybe there, to testify to what the Lord has done for you. I want to share with you my love of the book of Ruth. We've heard a snapshot of it from Julie, so thank you for that. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. And it encapsulates the essence of what I have experienced, not just for a season, but time and time again. From my early days as a wee small child, walking into a slightly musty old church in Womwell near Barnsley, that was grey and slightly careworn, but was warmly welcoming. To the time when I was a young mother, when I once again set off in search for a home, a spiritual home, yearning to be back under the wing of the God I had abandoned as a teenager. And I found a church on a hill in SW11, filled with people who seemed to know God so personally and spoke about his Spirit filling them anew, and it shed light onto the dark bits of their soul. And they were having courage to say sorry. Sorry to Jesus. And thank you. And it humbled me. And even now, over this last week or two, as I've spent time rereading Ruth, looking at it through the eyes of a pastor, it started me thinking, what does this say to us today, here, within our congregation? And the words sang afresh about welcome, redemption, and God's amazing plan, which is encouraging us to make space for anyone and everyone to join in with the wonderful work of his kingdom. So let me turn to chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, and do my utmost best to show you how the book of Ruth discipled, inspired, and still manages to teach me today. On the face of it, this is a simple tale of life. A hard life for sure, but one with a fairy tale ending. Spoiler alert, if you haven't read Ruth at all or for a while, Ruth marries Boaz and they have a son. And he has a son. And then when you get to the genealogy in the Gospel of Matthew, shocker. This chance union leads to the once prophesied birth of the Messiah, Jesus, through the line of David. And most people in their rush to get to chapter 4 of Ruth and this incredible nugget of handiwork of God skip the rich seam of learning that the book has to offer. When I was 7, I could read, but my level of understanding theological motifs and meta-narratives was slim to none, to be fair. Quite understandable. But when I read this story for the first time, snuggled under my blankets with a torch, yes, I was one of those children, I entered a world where the outsider was welcomed, protected, treated equally. Listen again to verses 8 and 9. Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And wherever you are thirsty, whenever you're thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." Being a person of colour in a pit town in the middle of the miners' strike wasn't fun. It was scary at times. Boys shouted awful things. People made weird assumptions about my heritage. And I looked nothing like my mum. She was tall and a redhead and a milk bottle in colour, and she came from Surrey. So for many, I didn't add up. It was a good job that I could talk the hind leg off of a donkey in a perfect Yorkshire twang. Otherwise, they'd never see a vicar with a passion for Kayleigh like me. But the way Boaz treated Ruth, with kindness and forethought, made provision, abundant help for her and her mother-in-law, spoke volumes to a 7-year-old me. I may not have got the nuances of the situation, but God's word taught me that I was worthy. I was not alone. It showed me that even in the most dire of circumstances, ones that I'd never endured, famine, loss of a husband, fear for my future, God made a way, even for the alien and outsider, to belong. In my childhood, when I needed it the most, this bit of scripture opened my eyes to the way God cared for me, cared for everyone. And today, as I dug deeper into the more technical aspects of this passage, once again, I learned something new and I want to share it with you. There's equality of care. There's a quality of care that's always part of God's economy. Worth and value are never measured by God in physical wealth or public standing or being the hero. The Hebrew word, hail. Boaz had it. That's what was used to describe him. Hail. Not because of his standing in Bethlehem society, but his characteristics. He was godly. He was loyal. He was law-abiding. He was compassionate. He was kind. He provided help from what he had. And again, hail. Ruth had it. Same word to describe her. Through her steadfast love and loyalty to Naomi, her ethics, her godliness, her law-abiding ways, testified by many. Both of them equally reflected God's character, and that is what shined out of the page for me. It's what's inspired my behaviour over the years. It's what's discipled my head and my heart to be hail, virtuous, noble, bold, mighty, excellent. One little word means so much in that language. Of course, as I began to grow, I let worldly things get in the way. First it was swimming, then it was dancing, and the distance between me and God, it just grew. Like Naomi, I left God's kingdom in search of more. And I returned later, realising that I was hungry. I missed the community of God's people. I had a son, and I wanted him to know what I had once known. So a bit older, but probably not much wiser, I came home to the church on the hill. And they opened their arms, and they made space for me and my family, and they put me at ease. They were far posher than I was. They shared with me the water of the living God, and I drank because I was parched and I was weary. They nurtured me, they fed me physically and spiritually. Home groups, or life groups as we call them, always include supper. And have you ever noticed that the best times are had around a bowl of pasta or hot soup when you're laughing with friends and sharing life? And as the life of God began to grow in me, once again, I had the odd bit of pruning at first, but I began to flourish. And I just couldn't believe it. Why had I left? What a numpty. In fact, on quite a few occasions, I fell face down, just like Ruth, in the harvest field. Saying, God, why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? But of course I knew why. Reading Ruth, I saw it. I was now Naomi, bereft, life weary, and God scooped me up through a series of God incidences. Gently but firmly, he nourished my soul back into life. I learned that God never gives up on us. He has a plan. We get to choose if we want to join in with it or not, of course. And at that time, I just felt compelled to go home, even though I couldn't work out what home actually meant. I didn't know it then, but I had a journey to undertake. My life, God's plan, had an opportunity to intertwine and bear fruit. So I'm thankful I found the courage to go into that church. It was a metaphorical field where I found favour and regained my life in Christ. It was the start of my ministry. Small, but still important. I was an intercessor, a prayer warrior. I learned how to teach, starting with the youngest and moving forward to the oldest amongst us. The elders held my hand and then pushed me forward, trusting me, enabling me to serve and be served. Out of our many choices, God can find a way of using them to bring about his purposes. When Naomi decided to return to Bethlehem, when Ruth chose a field to glean in, and when Boaz went to check on his field workers, God chose to make a way for his prophecy to be fulfilled. A saviour would come from the line of David, and this part of the story began all that. But there needed to be a time for Ruth and Naomi to be replenished. So don't rush to chapter 4. They needed time to find a home again. People who they could just be themselves around, where they could find love and be loved. The clan of Elimelech gave them that. The church on the hill were my first clan. Can we offer that home here? A place to other wandering souls. I think we can. I think we can do that. What role do you play in the clan of Stoke Poges Church? Are you a feeder? A teacher? A person of prayer? Have a think. Have a pray. Ask God to open your eyes and your heart. As Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 9, verse 37, the harvest is plentiful. And we as a church know that that's true. We come across so many people who are hungry for all things spiritual, but have no framework or way of working out what it is that they yearn for or how to express it. It's just sort of a jumbled up feeling that they have inside and some compulsion to try and work it out. And yet we have a story, the story of redemption, of truth, of the divine, right here on our lips, in our hands, dwelling within us. How can we, the clan of Stoke Poges Church, give these people a place they can call home and let them rest in the Lord and give parched lips a sip of the spirit of the living God and watch them grow? This little book of Ruth is only 4 chapters long, and yet still time after time I come back to it and I find something new to inspire my faith. I see my life lived out in its words and I strive to emulate the characters within. I love this book. It speaks to community, to faith, to restoration, to God's providence, to a plan bigger than anything I could dream up. It has eternal value, for it was inspired by an eternal creator. It tells a historical story that inspires in its simplicity and relatability. All that we need and can find out about ourselves in times of need. We all long to belong. We all love to be loved. And I don't know about you, but I do truly believe we function better in community. Let Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz's story speak to you. May it leave an indelible mark of God's love for his people on your heart. From this tiny book comes hope. Hope that for all people in all times, in all circumstances, everyone is welcomed home into the kingdom of God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, the one whose character shows us the perfect Hail. Amen.